Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we will delve into the seminal work, The Souls of Black Folk, authored by the pioneering sociologist and civil rights activist, Webb Du Bois. Published in 1903, this profound book takes us through the poignant and powerful examination of African American life following the era of emancipation. Du Bois explores the enduring repercussions of slavery, the struggles for equal education, the quest for economic self-sufficiency, and the complex dynamics between black and white communities of his time. As the first African-American recipient of a PhD from Harvard University, Du Bois's scholarly expertise and lived experience converge to present not only a critical analysis but also a deeply personal reflection on the African-American identity and the color line that continues to shape race relations in the United States. His distinguished career also includes co-founding the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, and stewarding its publication, The Crisis, for nearly a quarter century, lending a voice to the civil rights movement. The Souls of Black Folk is an essential read for anyone interested in the historical and sociological facets of African American history, as well as those seeking to understand the nuances of race relations in America. Whether you are a student of sociology, an educator, or simply a curious mind looking to broaden your perspective on racial issues, Du Bois's reflections provide invaluable insights into the soul of a nation and its people. Join us as we explore the enduring legacy of this classic work and its relevance in contemporary society. The Souls of Black Folk, An Account of the Conditions of African Americans After the End of Slavery. Introduction, Peeling Back the Veil, Delving into the Complex Legacy of Slavery. Imagine a world where the shackles have fallen, the plantations are quiet, and an entire people stand on the brink of a new, uncharted freedom. That's the reality African Americans faced post-slavery. The catch? Alongside the jubilation came a slew of perplexing challenges and unforeseen obstacles. The end of slavery in the 1860s marked not just the conclusion of a dark chapter in American history, but also the opening of a complex saga for those it aimed to liberate. The move toward integrating an entire race into the American lifeblood was daunting, if not Herculean, in its scope. Delving into this transformative period, we uncover insights from one of the most prominent African American thinkers. Through his gaze, we navigate the still turbulent waters of race relations and the internal convulsions of a community seeking to redefine its place under the sun. This narration is a journey, one that shines a light on the discord between famed black leaders, the plight of Southern farmers tangled in an exploitative web, and the nuanced dance of interactions between black and white Americans in the fragile aftermath of slavery. Join us as we unfold the intertwined threads of hope, adversity, and perseverance that shaped the soul of a people. Part 1, A Marathon to Freedom, The Ambitious but Stunted Run of the Freedmen's Bureau. Imagine millions of people abruptly asked to step into a world where the rules of the game are vastly different from anything they've known and expected to thrive. With the abolition of slavery in 1865, freedom was thrust upon 4 million African Americans who had never been paid for their labor, lacked formal education, and lived amidst many who begrudgingly accepted their emancipation. It was like entering a race ill-equipped and yards behind the starting line. So arose the Freedmen's Bureau, a testament to hope and support, but whose existence was as fleeting as it was fiercely needed. Here's why the Freedmen's Bureau was integral to integrating African Americans, but alas, found its potential clipped prematurely. The Bureau was a beacon in post-slavery America, pioneering educational systems, fair work contracts, and legal representation to counterbalance the residue of discrimination. Yet, voices rose against it, branding it unconstitutional. It was accused of favoring one race and usurping the rights of states. Ironically, this contention nudged history towards a significant pivot, granting African Americans the right to vote. Voting rights emerged not merely as a privilege, but as a necessity, a shield against the hostility churning in the South, where left without an advocate, African Americans were vulnerable. The ballot was envisaged as their armor, their chance to influence a future aligned with their welfare. Yet here's where Webb Du Bois, a sage in the struggle for equality, voiced a pivotal critique. The rush to label voting rights as the panacea obscured the enduring importance of the Freedmen's Bureau. Cut short in its tenure by 1869, the Bureau's vision of fully integrating African Americans into the fabric of society remained unfulfilled. Du Bois contended that the vote was vital, but alone, it was not a cure-all. The vision Du Bois beheld was of a Freedmen's Bureau unhampered, a guiding force for African Americans in recalibrating social, economic, and political bearings. Yet, with its dissolution, the promise of the Bureau flickered out, leaving behind a roadmap half-drawn and a people compelled to forge a path amidst persistent adversity. Part 2. The Industrial Education Debate. A Path Forward or a Stifled Dream? Imagine standing at a historical crossroads with the choice of a path that seems practical but ultimately limits your potential. This was the quandary African Americans faced during the post-slavery era, as they sought a way to assert their place in society and gain the respect of their fellow citizens. Booker T. Washington, a prominent figure in shaping African American futures, charted a course advocating for practical skills. He urged Black people to sidestep the struggle against discrimination for the moment, focusing instead on industrial education to secure jobs and accumulate wealth in hope that respect, and eventually equal rights, would follow. But Webb Du Bois saw this approach as a capitulation that did more harm than good. With industrial education at its core, the compromise Du Bois contended not only sidelined the quest for civil rights, but also reinforced a pernicious caste system. It was an approach that played into the hands of white commercial interests, both North and South, and perpetuated the notion of African Americans as subordinate. Du Bois's argument was incisive. By foregoing the struggle for civil rights and focusing solely on manual skills, it implied that Black individuals were inherently fitted only for servitude, a notion that snuffed out both self-respect and the ambition to rise. He challenged further, pointing out that the strategy of focusing solely on industrial training negated the diversity of talents within the Black community. Why limit many to manual labor when some could be leaders, thinkers, educators, or artists? And finally, Du Bois opposed the underlying suggestion in Washington's proposal that the journey towards equality was a burden to be shouldered by African Americans alone. True equality, he believed, could only emerge from a collective British effort where support from the white population was pivotal. In Du Bois's view, the path to equality called not for acquiescence, but for a peaceful yet resolute demand for the same opportunities, rights, and treatment that white Americans were accorded. Only through such a stance would the full spectrum of the African American dream come into view, unimpeded by compromise or half measures. Part 3. A Stark Contrast. The Grim Reality for African Americans in the Post-Slavery South. Let's journey to a place synonymous with the struggle and fortitude of an entire race, a region known as the Black Belt for its rich, dark soil. Here, 500,000 African Americans, once enchained, found themselves in a shadowy version of freedom, grappling with new forms of servitude. In the wake of slavery's fall, African Americans largely returned to the fields they had toiled over in bondage, but this time, as tenants of the land they once turned under whip and sun. Here lies the uncomfortable truth. Post-emancipation life in the South for most African American families meant enduring brutal conditions while farming on borrowed soil. Tenancy and endless toil in the fertile embrace of the Black Belt entailed a deep-seated inequity. With little assistance to own land the vast majority, more than 88% in the county Webb Du Bois examined, resumed farming. But as tenants paying their dues in bountiful crops, seeds and necessities were procured on credit, as tangible currency was a distant hope until harvest. Cotton, liquid gold of the southern soil, became an oppressive yoke. Although the Black Belt soil was capable of nurturing a variety of crops, cotton reigned supreme, not out of love for its soft white bolls, but because it was the coin of the realm. Merchants and landowners' insistence on cotton meant diversity in agriculture was stifled, innovation stymied, and the echo of chains was heard once again. This newly rigged system, a debt peonage that replaced chains with ledgers, sought to maintain the old hierarchy by new means. The deck was stacked such that success one year brought punitive rent hikes the next, ensuring the black farmers' tether to the land remained taut. As they etched out survival in the shadow of want, African-American families crowded into dilapidated shanties, remnants of the plantation era or sad replicas thereof, mirroring the broken promises of emancipation. Cornered by a merciless debt cycle and pitiable living quarters, African Americans in the South faced a dire crossroads. A minute few succeeded against the odds, clawing their way to land ownership. The rest turned their weary eyes toward the glow of town and city lights, harboring faint embers of hope for a life less indebted and a day of true freedom yet to dawn. Part 4. A Divided Landscape. The Challenging Truths of Racial Interaction Post-Slavery. In the wake of slavery's end, as the mist of a long-standing conflict lifted, the American South found itself divided by something more durable than mere geography. It was divided by color, with racial boundaries etched across its very fabric. During these years, the elusive ideal of racial harmony remained just that, a distant dream, mired in reality's complex textures. Here's how the landscapes of interaction, or lack thereof, between African Americans and white communities shaped the post-slavery decades. After the chains were broken, literal and metaphorical distances persisted between African Americans and their white counterparts. Neighborhoods whispered secrets of segregation. A road here or an unspoken perimeter there segmented black from white domains, with each race often only glimpsing the other through the lens of societal extremities. Webb Du Bois observed these demarcations with a discerning eye. He noted an ironic twist. Affluent black citizens found themselves neighbors with the poorer whites, while the most destitute black populations were juxtaposed against well-to-do white areas. The outcome? Racial prejudices simmered, fueled by limited interactions that showcased only the starkest differences. The chasm widened in the realm of economic pursuits. Black Americans, many still bearing the burden of their servile past, wrestled with an economic system inclined to shut them out. With preferences for white workers and a terrain rife with exploitation, Du Bois illustrates, through the tale of a black man swindled in his pursuit of land ownership, the treacherous minefield that was the southern economy for the newly freed. While the political arena presented a facade of equality, the actual theatrics told a different story. With the right to vote theoretically extended to all, only white citizens enjoyed unobstructed participation. Black voters, on the other hand, were met with corruption, intimidation, and oftentimes brute force, casting them into a vortex of disenfranchisement. Amidst such an environment rife with economic and political barriers, it was no small wonder that many African American citizens viewed the political process with skepticism and distaste, choosing disengagement over disillusionment. In this landscape of separation and systemic obstruction, the fledgling steps towards true racial integration and cooperation found themselves mired by the lingering shadows of a divided heritage. Part 5. A Spiritual Crossroads. The African American Church's dual role in the face of injustice, religion can often be a double-edged sword, offering solace on one hand and promoting acquiescence on the other. The African American Church, throughout its history, has tread this fine line, balancing the act of consoling its congregation with the impulse to challenge injustices. Caught amidst the tumultuous waves of slavery's aftermath, the African American church emerged as both a mirror reflecting the struggles of its flock and a beacon guiding them through. Here we delve into the nuanced role of the African American church. Like its followers, the church has found itself oscillating between confrontation and conformity in response to racial oppression. During the dark days of slavery, the church provided enslaved Africans with a spiritual anchor. Bible passages preach submission while promising ultimate salvation. This narrative of patient suffering prevailed throughout the institution of slavery, especially in the South. But in the North, the winds of change breathed a fiery spirit into the pulpits as the church and its preachers rallied against the chains, aligning with the abolitionist cause. As African Americans navigated the bittersweet waters of emancipation, the church's role evolved. It became the heart of African American social life, a haven where expression was unbounded, leadership was nurturing, and moral clarity was resolute. By 1890, with a staggering 24,000 black churches established nationwide, it was clear to Du Bois that these religious institutions represented the very rights and recognition that eluded African Americans in broader society. But even as the church carved out spaces of freedom and community, it faced a profound existential question: how to respond to the continuing realities of racial injustice? Should it become a fortress of radical defiance or a cloister of quiet endurance? Webb Du Bois recognized the duality of this spiritual crossroads. Some churches mirrored their white counterparts, maintaining status quo worship forms, while others became sources of societal upliftment, kindling resilience and hope. Yet, unified in their potential power, Du Bois envisioned a day when the collective strength of these churches and their millions of members would pivot decisively towards dismantling the structures of racial inequality. Within the walls of these sacred institutions, African Americans stood at a crossroads, the paths of resistance and acceptance diverging before them, the future of their church and community hinging on the direction they would collectively choose. Part 6: The Dual Struggle, Achieving Tangible Rights and Inner Peace. Imagine grappling not just with chains and bars, but invisible barriers that run deeper, cleaving through identity and self-perception. This was the unseen battle African Americans faced, one that Webb Du Bois keenly dissected with the precision of a scholar and the pain of a man intimately familiar with the wounds of prejudice. The revelation came to Du Bois in childhood. A simple gesture of exchanging visiting cards with a classmate etched an indelible mark, unmasking a harsh truth of exclusion. It symbolized a greater chasm, the beginning of a lifelong navigation through the dual identity of being black and American, in a world that seemed not to fully accept either. Herein lies the crux of the struggle. In their quest for freedom, African Americans also strive to heal a searing internal rift. Du Bois conjured the metaphor of a veil to encapsulate this struggle. It shrouded black Americans, clouding their self-view and muddling their true essence in the eyes of white compatriots. This existence within the veil was a life of distortion, a constant battle to reconcile self-worth with societal perceptions shadowed by racism. Freedom's dawn post-slavery didn't break the day many had longed for. Instead, it brought a host of new tribulations. Economic deprivation, societal neglect, and unabating violence were the bleak landscapes of this so-called liberty. Thus, African Americans redirected their resolve towards other avenues: enfranchisement, education, and economic empowerment, each milestone marked with the stubborn stigma that black individuals were deemed undeserving. But even these steps, each lofty and significant in its own right, didn't completely turn the tide. Du Bois posited a profound truth: no single achievement could unravel the complex tapestry of inequality alone. Rather, they were interwoven strands, each contributing to a broader, daunting task: the lifting of the veil. The fight for civil and human rights was not a quest for a solitary end game, but a multifaceted struggle. Each victory, a piece of a larger puzzle. The end goal was more than the sum of its parts. A vision of a world where Black Americans could see themselves and be seen, free from the distorting veil of racism's pervasive gaze. Final summary. In the vast tapestry of American history, the narrative thread of African American struggle is one of profound resilience amid ceaseless adversity. The abolition of slavery was acclaimed as a monumental stride toward justice and equality, but it heralded not an end, but the beginning of a complex era of reconstruction, of lives, identities, and the nation itself. The tear in the veil of slavery revealed a landscape strewn with challenges. African Americans walked the uneasy path of freedom, facing economic disenfranchisement, political subjugation, and societal segregation. Amid this turmoil, the insightful reflections of Webb Du Bois, a luminary in both academia and activism, cut through the noise, calling attention to the depth of the obstacles on the road to racial equality. These blinks unveiled the essence of Du Bois's scrutiny. Emancipation was a partial remedy, a lit fuse that set off myriad struggles as African Americans sought to redefine their place within the American psyche and polity. Du Bois's contributions laid a foundation, a beacon that guided the conversation on race relations and civil rights. His voice echoed the enduring refrain for justice, painting a compelling portrait of a people in pursuit of a freedom more profound than the mere absence of shackles, the pursuit of a future where equality is not just a promise, but a palpable, living reality for all. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.